You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Maurizio, alongside me this week, the 24-year NBA executive, one-year Hoop Genius Podcast expert, Mr. Scott Perry. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great this morning, Mo. You know, when I hear that, you know the vibes, that gets me up, ready, and ready to talk some basketball, man. You know, when I was growing up, you'd hear, you turn on the radio and your favorite DJ would have a welcome in the morning. So that's my new DJ welcome in the morning.
DJ.
You know the vibes, exactly.
Come on, man. One day I'll get a radio show and I'll put the You Know the Vibes on there as well, man. I would love to do that. Congratulations, Scott. Correctly predicting Florida to be the NCAA National Championships winners of 2025. What a game that was last night. For a long stretch there, it looked like Houston was going to take it. But Florida got themselves back into the game. And then a horrendous final possession from Houston left the Florida Gators as winners. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you hated the way that ended. But first of all, let me congratulate the Florida Gators, man. What a run for them the entire season, and especially this tournament. I thought in the game yesterday, they turned the tables a little bit in the second half on the Houston Cougars. You know, Houston's defense is tremendous. It's tough. All those guys play extremely hard. That's what put them in that situation to begin with. But Florida really ramped up their defense and made it tough. You know, when they got down 12, they started making things tougher on the Houston Cougars in terms of being able to score the basketball. And those final possessions down the stretch were the difference, and that Florida was scrappy. They were equally as tough, and they made just enough offensive plays to leave out of there with the championship victory. Mm-hmm. So, I thought the Final Four, Mo, to be honest with you, this year was an excellent Final Four. All these games were close to tight. It could have gone either way. If you played this Final Four again, it'd probably be a different outcome.
Yeah, that's the beauty of
it was that
done.
Close.
You know, that's the beauty of just one-off games rather than a seven-game series. So
yes.
Let me ask you this, though. Watching the game last night, how many future NBA players did you see on the court?
Well, that's a good question. For a number of those guys, it'll be just being in the right place, right time. But I would say that I would expect to see maybe 4 to 5 guys on the NBA roster.
I wanted to talk about one of them in particular, for Florida, Walter Clayton Jr., who had a real tough start to the game, but a big-time player because he figured it out in the second half, if that makes sense, the final 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He's not a crazy athlete. He's only 6'2". He's 22 years old. Mm-hmm. People are saying, okay, cool, he might be a second-round pick. But watching him play, there's no way anyone can tell me that he couldn't do something in the league. Where do you anticipate this guy to be drafted? Because to me, he's kind of like a Peyton Pritchard type player, just a little bit taller than Peyton Pritchard.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the run that he went on in this tournament, to at least for me, and again, I wasn't out scouting every single collegiate game like a lot of the NBA scouts have done. But from what I've seen, I believe this guy's a first-round pick. Just in watching him come through in the clutch time after time, he can do the one thing that everybody loves in today's game, and that's shoot. He shoots the basketball very well, and he makes big clutch shots. He's an excellent free-throw shooter. So yesterday, he made a couple of really nice passes as well, too. So showed me ability to be able to play that point position. And I know we live in a time now where, and it's unfortunate, where guys get knocked because of age, because he's been in school for 4 years. He's 22 years old. Oh, he's too old. We'd rather take somebody 18. But see, I look at a player like him, and I see a guy that can contribute next season to a team because he has experience, because he's stronger, and he's come through in clutch moments. So for him, hopefully he'll get a chance to get to a situation where there is a need at that position where he can get some minutes. Watching him throughout this tournament, I became more and more impressed, and I saw an NBA player that I believe will be drafted in the first round somewhere this year.
Yeah, I think mid first round isn't a crazy expectation. I don't know if he'll be in the lottery, but today we're talking about the Eastern Conference, where we have a lot of teams vying for a top spot in that lottery. You've got the Wizards, the Hornets, the Sixers, the Nets, and the Raptors, all vying for a place in that NBA draft lottery. But let's talk about the teams who are actually going to be part of the postseason moving forwards, right? Let's start with the play-in. You've got the Magic, you've got the Hawks, you've got the Bulls, and you've got the Heat in 7 through 10. Magic at 7 are 4.5 games behind the Pistons. I don't think they're going to catch up and get that sixth seed,
No.
right? So the
No.
Magic, after such a great start to the season, and Paolo started the season so strong, they ended up with injuries to Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, and Paolo, and a bunch of the other guys on their roster. Injuries really deteriorated them. The Hawks came into the season with a new look, moving on from the DeJounte Murray and Trae Young experiment, moving DeJounte Murray off. They then received potential defensive player of the year, Dyson Daniels. They've looked real strong in stretches. However, they are a below 500 basketball club. You've got the Chicago Bulls, who made midseason moves. You've got the Miami Heat, who made midseason moves. Which two of those four teams are you expecting to come out of the play-in?
Well, I definitely was expecting the Orlando Magic to come out. They are starting to play better toward the last couple weeks of this season. To your point, they've experienced a lot of ups and downs this year, a lot due to injuries to their best two players, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. They also have been missing Jalen Suggs, who I think is a very important part to that team in terms of the energy, leadership, and point of attack defense that he provides for that team. I think he's a real spiritual leader for that group. But I've always been a believer, I think we talked about this yesterday, like to see how teams are playing down the stretch. So I'm going to favor the Magic coming out because they'll get two cracks at it. I do think they'll win the first time out. They'll host that initial play-in game. And then to me, it's going to come down to the Hawks. And even though I know they went through a terrible losing streak here recently, but they're starting to win a few games. Our Miami Heat mode that we talk so
Yes, that's all
affectionately
you. That's your
about,
Miami
the
Heat.
Heat crazy. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm a Celtics fan. The Heat are
Yeah,
Miami's.
exactly. So I'm going to say I think they win the first round, even though they'll be the road team. I like this team in
You
that
like the
one
Heat
game
beating the
knockout.
Bulls?
I like the Heat beating the Bulls. I really
Okay.
do. And then I think I'm going to take the Heat to beat the
The
Atlanta Hawks as
Hawks.
well. So those are going to be my two teams to come out of the Eastern Conference, just because of the pedigree and experience, the toughness, the preparation that I believe Eric Spoelstra and that group will display in this venue. It's nothing against those other teams. I guess I'm torn between them and Atlanta, to be honest with you. But Atlanta's been up and
Yeah,
down.
no love for the Bulls. They've been playing well recently. They're 7-3 in the last 10. They've won their last three. They picked up wins over the Lakers and the Nuggets, so they've beaten some good playoff teams.
They have.
They
I
lost by
just
one
I.
to the Mavericks, so they could be 8-2 over the last 10,
Yes. No. I look. Again, anything can happen in a one-game knockout, as we do know, and they're going to have a home game that first time around. But I'm going to rely on just recent history, I guess, if you will, in terms of performance in playoff type situations like this. And so I'm going to lean toward the Heat, but I won't be shocked if I'm proven wrong on that one. But for me, really, it's the Magic, and you can really roll the dice, and any of those other three could come out. But since you've
Yeah.
asked me to pick one, I'm going to pick the Heat.
I wouldn't be surprised at any of those four, but the question I have for you is those four teams, two of them are going to make it to the playoffs where they'll face either the Cavaliers or the Celtics. Do you see any chance that any of those four teams win a first round series?
Unfortunately, that's your reward for winning the play-in is getting to face
Yeah.
the two of the top three or four teams in the league. And so I don't see either of those groups beating either the Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland has just played too well this year. I think they've grown, taken a step forward. Evan Mobley in particular has lifted his game up. Donovan Mitchell has emerged more as a leader of this group too, which is great to see. So I don't see anybody upending them of those four teams in the first round. As I, you know, again, the defending champion Celtics, I think they're on a mission to try to repeat and get, you know, at least get back to the finals. Given
we'll talk about them later in the show, but let's look at the middle of the pack. Right at six, you've got the Pistons. Game and a half ahead of them, you've got the Milwaukee Bucks. Game and a half ahead of them, you've got the Pacers, who have really found something in the second half of the season. They're on a four-game win streak, 8-2 over the last 10. And then ahead of them, you've got a 50-win in back-to-back years Knicks team. Looking at those kind of four teams, right, and I mentioned this kind of yesterday at the end of the show, the Pistons winning a first-round series, if you've told anyone that last year, they would have thought you've gone insane. However, we're here now. As it stands, they'll be matched up with the Knicks. And there's a part of me that kind of likes that matchup for the Pistons, even though OG has been playing unbelievable basketball.
He's been playing awesome.
Jalen Brunson's getting back healthy now. You know, they've added Karl-Anthony Towns to their roster. The Knicks obviously are the favorites to win that series. But if things were to stand as they currently stand, who do you have winning that series, being a Detroit native? But a former Knicks executive. That's a tough spot to put you in.
Yeah, no, it is. It's obviously a tough spot to put me in. But Mo, I'm on the Hoop Genius podcast to give my objective analysis.
Unbiased. Subjective.
Yeah, unbiased, exactly. So with that being said, as great of a year as the Pistons have had, and if I'm not mistaken, they went into the Garden twice this year, I believe, and beat these Pistons. But that's regular season basketball. As we know, the pressure is going to be ramped up that much more. I just like the experience on the New York Knicks side. And to your point, even though Jalen Brunson now is working himself back into a rhythm and shape, you know, he'll be ready to go by the time the 19th rolls around. He has another, what's that, 11, 12 days before that time. And so he will be ready. That group will be ready. And if OG will continue to play like he is now when Jalen comes back, because his volume, his offensive volume and usage probably will drop. Probably will drop with Jalen coming back. But can he still maintain that pace that he's on the offensive end? We know he's going to show up defensively, but be that reliable third scorer that we talk about a lot when we dissect these teams. If he's that, now he makes the Knicks that much better going into the playoffs. I just like the experience. Even though I like the size in the Pistons backcourt, like a matchup, Jalen Brunson, it'll be hard for him to guard a Cade Cunningham who's 6'7". Who does Jalen Brunson match up with on the Pistons? Probably their two guard who's either going to be Beasley or Tim Hardaway, I would imagine. So, but I'm going to give the edge to the Knicks. Just experience and mainly because of the experience.
Yeah,
the Pistons are going to be playing with house money a little bit. No one expected them to be in this position coming off of last season. So that makes it them to be a dangerous team. I don't think the Pistons will be afraid of the moment.
I could see them stealing I can game
see
the one.
This will not be a sweep series for sure. I can see this series going six games at least because of, again, the Pistons team is the young and athletic, and they have
and they bring the physicality as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I know, like, yes, Karl-Anthony Towns, I don't know if he's going to like dealing with 48 minutes of Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart.
Isaiah Stewart and those guys. No question about it. No, it's going to be it's not going to be easy for the Knicks, but I'm going to favor the Knicks in that matchup, but that's how it goes down.
Yeah, they still have Cade Cunningham making his, like, he's returned, but he's still getting back to full health, you know, coming off the injury. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been solid for them, but also Malik Beasley off the bench has been one of the league's best three-point shooters. I think
he's been, yeah,
in
Malik
terms
Beasley's
of minutes,
had an awesome year.
No one's shot the ball like him.
Yeah, this has been a career year for Malik Beasley. Because he has been as consistent as I've seen him during his entire NBA career with his ability to make shots. He's been dialed in, locked in. We talk about fit all the time. He has embraced being there in Detroit. And I think that's important, and Detroit has embraced him. So,
but what I'd really be intrigued by is we saw how good Amen Thompson was at guarding Stephen Curry the other day. The Pistons have his twin brother, Osar Thompson. And that matchup of putting him on Jalen Brunson is something that intrigues me, because Brunson's a smaller player. Osar and Amen are two of the best athletes we've ever seen in the NBA. So
no question. No, Jalen will have his work cut out for him, because that size and athleticism, he can stand for, as long as he stays disciplined and doesn't buy a lot of the herky-jerky fakes and lean-ins that Jalen is capable of producing on a nightly basis, and creating fouls and getting to the line and doing those things. If he can do that, now you're talking about the Pistons really having a chance in that series, because I would expect to see Asar Thompson on Jalen Brunson a lot during that year. But then again, that's going to be the importance of OG Anunoby. Now, who matches up with him? Because if OG can keep going, we know Towns will score, because Towns will be able to
stretch
step away from the basket. He's going to stretch away from the, so he's going to pull Dorn away. He's going to pull Isaiah Stewart away from the rim and be able to, you know, score that way. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be a chess match. And to see who's the best at making adjustments.
Yeah, and with OG commanding more attention now, Mikal Bridges, the floor should open up for him as well, who's proven himself he can score as well, like he did with Brooklyn. Do you think the Knicks have a chance at winning the Eastern Conference?
Well, when you use the word chance, yes, they have a chance. Now, do I favor them to go? As it stands right now, they would be matched up with the Celtics in the second round. If both teams are fully healthy, I'm going to favor the Boston Celtics. They've been there. I just think they play extremely well together, and they're better defensively than this Knicks team. The Knicks, as a group, you know, last I heard, they were like the 17th ranked defensive team.
Yeah, the middle of the pack.
So the Celtics are probably in the top five or six in that ranking. And so I again, you know me, Mo, I'm going to always default to those groups that consistently defend, because both teams are going to be, have capable scorers and can put points on the board. But when it gets down to crunch time and the shots aren't falling as well as you'd like them to fall, I'm going to lean towards that team that's more consistent on the defensive end, and that being the Boston Celtics.
Well, the 4-5 matchup, if things stay how they are, is a matchup that teams that screams NBA TV, but I think it would be a real good matchup. There is a rivalry between these two sides going back to last season's in-season tournament, the incident with Giannis wanting to keep the game ball, and so on and so forth. The Pacers and the Bucks. How would you see a series between those two teams go in? And do you think either of those two teams has a chance of winning the Eastern Conference? Because Dame won't be there for the Bucks. I believe he's out for the rest of the season.
So is have they officially ruled Dame out?
I don't
now?
Know if it's official. But he has.
Yeah, the Bucks will obviously would need Dame, I believe.
He has blood clots, so he's out indefinitely, which is a very serious issue.
Serious
so
thing.
Indefinitely, but to me.
But when I watched the last game, I just heard a report that he was obviously doing well, responding well to the medication, had not heard anything other than that. You just obviously hope he gets better first. That's first and foremost, more than this playoff series. But if he's not going to be available, though, to this team, for them to go all the way through to the Eastern Conference, to the finals, as big of a Giannis fan as I am, I just think that this, the roadblocks in front of them being they get past this a good Indiana team, that's the first roadblock. That's not a given at all. You probably would slightly even favor Indiana in that series, just because of the health factor of the teams. But if they were somehow to get through that, now you're standing there looking at a Cleveland team that was second best team in the regular season this year. And that would be a difficult undertaking for them. And then to get through that and then probably be looking at the Celtics. I just don't see them having enough to do it this year. I'm not going to never totally count Giannis out, but I believe he needs a Dame Lillard in the lineup for them to have a fighting chance to run that gauntlet. So Indiana has a lot of confidence. You know, back to that opening series, they have a lot of confidence. I think
I think they
based
could
on what
win
they
that
accomplished
opening
last
series.
year. Oh yeah, absolutely. They can. They're deep, extremely well coached. Rick Carlisle will have that group very prepared. And they're not. They showed us last year they're not afraid of these big moments. And so they're going to carry some confidence with them that they can win in advance. Again, I know last year is last year, but still,
They were in the conference
you
finals
guys
last
build
year.
on
You
that.
have to respect it.
Yes.
And you have to respect the way they've turned this season around to be the four seed right now,
Absolutely.
because
Yeah,
they
because.
started off horrifically. And in
Yep.
particular, Tyrese Haliburton really struggled to start this season.
But you know what, Mo, what they learn to do a lot of times, what happens to being a conference finalist, coming back the next year, it took them a while to adjust how teams viewed them and treated them. Because now you're a conference finalist. Teams are going at you. That's a big game on their schedule. We're going to play the Pacers. And they probably, from where I sat and watched them, weren't ready for that all the way yet, you know, and to start the season. And I think they had to kind of adjust to that, adapt to that. And once they did, now you've seen them go on a run and beat some very good basketball teams over the past couple of months. So I like the Indiana group. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we're left with the two teams at the top, the Celtics and the Cavs. And right off the bat, Scott, I'm gonna ask you today, on the 8th of April, who's winning the Eastern Conference in the playoffs?
But Mo, I don't have a Boston t-shirt on like you had yesterday.
See, I'll come
But
neutral today. I'll come neutral because you gotta be
you know, yeah,
impartial.
but I just assuming that they stay healthy, and the big when I say that, that's mainly Kristaps Porzingis being healthy for the entire run. Because I'm assuming I know that Tatum and Brown and those guys will be there and be ready. The two guards, they bring size and energy. Derek White
Drew
why
Holiday.
am I Jrue Holiday? Jrue Holiday, tremendous playoff guards, physical, and then the ageless wonder, Al Horford. I think he's going to be excited after watching his old college win the national
Oh
championship
yeah, I seen him
yesterday.
on
He
the
was there
court after the
live.
game
Yeah,
last night.
he was there. He was
He
there
was
live.
out for the he's out on the injury report for the Celtics next game, but he was in San Antonio. And like, listen,
Exactly.
when you're Big Al's age, when you get to that level in your career as a reigning champ, you can afford to do that. I'm not mad at that.
And I like how they've been playing down the stretch too. Again, I can't stress that enough. Teams playing well into the playoffs. So they got through the entire regular season. Again, everybody was shooting at them. Obviously, they were the five-star matchup every night that they played. And they handled it well this year, I believe. And they didn't get down when they lost the, you know, a couple games at home or dropped the game to a team that maybe wasn't, you know, close to their level. They stayed the course. They know the journey. And there's something to be said when you know the journey and done it and you've done it successfully. And so I still favor the Celtics this year. I believe when we talked at the very beginning of the year, I had them picked to come back out of the East. And as great as Cleveland's been, and no disrespect to anybody else in the Eastern Conference, I still favored them this season to get back to the NBA Finals.
You know, one thing that concerned me a little bit with the Celtics is last year, Jrue Holiday in particular, talking about him, and we know what he brings on a defensive end. But one huge factor in them winning the championship last year was offensively. He shot damn near 62% from corner threes for the entire season. Astronomical numbers. His shooting from the corner was absolutely huge. This season, those numbers have plummeted to kind of average out to the mean, right? But the adjustment that he made over the last however many games it was, I think there was a game against Memphis where he went like 4 of 17 because Memphis just wouldn't guard him on the 3-point line. The adjustment that he's made as a point guard to kind of play as a center with his rolls to the hoop, with his cuts to the hoop, and being in the dunker spot has been a key to the Celtics' strong close to the finish here. Because him acknowledging, okay, my shot's not falling, what else can I do? and being able to time his cuts at the perfect time has been absolutely amazing for the Celtics. My question is, with the Celtics and the Cavaliers, both of these teams are two teams that heavily rely on three-point shooting. And it could just be whichever team gets hotter from three at the right time, if they meet in the conference finals, right? It's whichever team just has the momentum and can shoot the lights out is going to win this series. So I couldn't call it either way because they both rely so heavily on their three-point shooting that it's some nights, as you know, in the league, some nights your shots just don't fall. And
No
there's no
question.
explanation for it. The shots just don't fall and there's a lid on the basket. Whereas some nights you can't miss. So that's possibly the hardest thing to predict in this year's playoffs because of the three-point shooting variance. Who's going to win that series? I couldn't give you an answer.
Really? Well, Mo, what I would say though, and again, I know the Celtics were on record pace for the amount of threes that they shot this regular season. But when you really watch them and how they generate them, so much of them are generated off lane penetration and getting to the rim. And you got two guys, well, really all the guys, but really two guys who are really, really good in the league get to the basket in Tatum and Brown. And then the two guards, Holiday and White, are capable of getting there as well. So what I see with from the Celtics, they're going to be able to get to the line. In those days that the three isn't falling, they can manufacture enough twos, in my opinion, on a given night to be successful enough to win. Play great defense and then manufacture enough twos at the rim, getting to the line when they're not falling. But the quality of threes that they get night in, night out, I think it's probably the best in the league because so many of them come. It's not just the first pass on the kick out and the guy shooting somebody running close now. It's usually kick out, swing, or swing, swing. And so they're passing up good shots to get great looks, and they're open looks so many times. They're not taking a ton of step back threes and just threes that aren't efficient. And so that's what I like about them and their ability and how they utilize the three-point line because it's all about quality of shots.
And the other thing is, like, Jason Tatum for the last two playoff runs has not been shooting the ball from deep very well. Yeah, every season he's found a way to improve, especially as a playmaker, and especially the way he finishes around the bucket as well. So he knows what to do when his shots aren't falling. So if his shot is falling, that's just bonus for the Celtics at this point because they've been through two deep playoff runs and a championship run with his three ball not falling. It's going to be interesting because this team and Cleveland split the season series at two games apiece,
Oh yeah,
both
no,
teams
it'll be
winning one
awesome.
game on the road in their opponents in their opponents' arena. So
I'm not discounting Cleveland at all. If they were to pull the upset in my mind and do it, would I be shocked? No. But again, I'm going with just the playoff pedigree of the entire roster, and obviously they've won a championship as well. But they've been to two finals, and they've been to the conference finals a number of times. So just the battle-tested locker room that the Celtics have, I'm gonna favor them in the season till they come up against another team that's maybe been that battle-tested. So.
yeah, and good news for Philly fans, because they were eliminated from playoff contention, they no longer have to suffer a first or second round exit as they do as a yearly tradition. So, shout out to you Sixer fans out there. Trust the process. Maybe you'll be back next year. Maybe you won't. Who knows? But that's our little preview of the Eastern Conference. Not quite as exciting as the West, but when you look at the matchups, I think, the Magic or the Hawks could give the Celtics an interesting series. And then I think the Heat or the Bulls or the Hawks on the Magic could give the Cavs a very interesting series. I think Pistons Knicks would be cinema. I think it would be a very physical,
Oh yeah.
tightly contested series. The
Absolutely.
Pacers and the Bucks have a rivalry. The Pacers are the better team, but the Bucks have Giannis, who will be the best player on the court. So I do think, even though the race to the playoffs isn't as exciting as the West, I do think that every series that we're going to get out of the East is going to be a very, very fun series to watch.
There's no question about it. The thing about the playoffs this year, really on both sides, even though, like I said, it's more compelling on the Western Conference as we look at it right now. But I will not be surprised to see lower seeds beat the higher seeds in the playoffs. In years past, a lot of times you could just really see, okay, the higher seeds are gonna, yeah, they may lose a game or two along the way, but they're on a crash course, you
Yeah,
know,
even
starting the second round. But
yeah.
now to see a six seed be the three seed, it won't be shocking on either side, to be
Yes, the
honest with
parry
you, because it's
year of
going to
the
be
NBA.
the parity. And that's, to me, as again, now I'm going to put my fan hat on, Mo, as well. You like when there are multiple teams that have an opportunity to eventually play for a title. And it's not just one team on the West and one team on the East. You know that ultimately they're going to land in the finals. While there's some compelling nature to that once they get there, because they were you know, so excellent in both conferences. Nowadays, now your team, you know, you're sitting at home now. There's eight different cities probably that are sitting there saying, you know what? We got a chance to make it to the finals. And that's a lot of teams, you know, maybe
I think all eight, like I think seven teams in the West think that they can make it to the finals. And I think
yes.
there are probably five, maybe
Okay.
six, according to Mr. BJ Armstrong, who said that the Pistons can make the conference finals. But there, let's say
Yeah,
four or five
but
teams in the East that think they can
you
make it.
for
So
I
you've
yeah
got more
I
than
think your
10
top four
teams.
te yeah I think your five top five te you know, the Bucks would, especially if they had Dame Lillard,
Yeah.
would think that too. So you've got five. So yeah, like you're looking at 10 to 12 teams and saying, hey, look, we play our kind of basketball, we have a chance.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait for it. Do you know what we should do this week, though, Scott? I think
Okay.
you'll like this. I think maybe tomorrow we should go back and look at our predictions from the first week of the season,
Okay.
and we should see how they figured out and what's happened and
Yeah,
what's not happened.
I would love to do that, Mo, because I'll
Yeah.
be honest with you, other than remembering, I believe that I picked the Celtics to
You picked
repeat
Shafe MVP as well.
and save for MVP. Okay. We're starting out 2-0. I don't remember the rest of the seeding and all like this. So it'll be
I do remember an episode where you and BJ did both pick the Sixers to finish quite strong, and I didn't believe in the
Oh.
Sixers.
Yeah, well, that
And here we are.
here we are,
But
exactly.
stay tuned. We'll get to that tomorrow, and we'll give our awards for this season. You know, MVP, Defense Player of the Year, so on and so forth. So you can have a think about that. Let us know in the Discord what who your picks are. And if you have any surprising picks, maybe we'll react to them on the show. But until then, subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get it from. Make sure you're locked in with us, because the final week of the regular season rolls on. Then we got to play, and then we got the playoffs, then we got the finals. So don't miss an episode. Scott, appreciate it as always. And until next time, get buckets.